while we get into this, I want you to dig deep today. I want you to dig deep. I want you to reach deep down in that well of your life. And I want you to begin to grab hold of to the dreams that you once had that you may not have right now. I want you to just ask God to begin to birth up and bring up those things that you used to dream of doing. Those things that you used to dream of starting. Those things that you used to dream of changing. I want you to reach deep down inside and begin to pull those things up. Because here I want to speak to that part of you. I don't want to speak to the part that's got all the bills and all the worries. I want to speak to the dreamer in you. Look at your neighbor and say, the dreamer in me. Come on now, you say it better than that. Say, the dreamer in me. I want to talk to the person who has goals, the person who has things in their heart that don't make sense on paper. I want to talk to the person who says, I'm going to try that, but it's going to take a lot of money, and maybe I'll try it one day down the road when I got the money. I want to talk to that person today. I don't want to talk to the warrior. I don't want to talk to the doubter. I want you to reach deep down inside and begin to grab hold of the dream in your life. And as we begin to talk about this, to talk about the Word of God and look into the story, I want you to begin to place it on your life for your dream. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being an amazing God. Thank you that when people say we can't, you say we can. I thank you, Lord, that when dreams are down and when it looks like we're out for the count, God, you raise us up. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God who sees the great in us and you look beyond our faults and our troubles and you're always calling us to better things. I thank you, God, for being that God. Now, show up today. Speak to us, God. Speak to the dreamer in us. Speak to the dreamer in us. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could, for a moment, think about the things that we used to talk about when we were younger, I wonder if I could go back to you in your younger high school days when you had dreams and goals and aspirations for something greater than football or cheerleading. I wonder what we would talk about. I wonder if I could have a conversation with you when you were transitioning from being a person who attended school and did all these things because it was right to a person who wanted more out of life and didn't want to be stuck in the environment that you grew up in. I wonder what that person would say to me. I wonder if we could go back and have a conversation, if I could go back and have a conversation with you when you were talking about things that you wanted to accomplish in life, I wonder what those things would be. Amen? I wonder if for a moment if we could just press rewind on our life and back up a little bit, I wonder where we would find where we fell off from chasing after our dreams. See, what I realize about people and a lot of people in this world is we start off really great and we start off really aspiring to do great things and wanting to accomplish and change the world and be a part of this and start things that change people's lives. And I know that's who we are deep down on the inside, but something happens along the course of life that knocks us off that. Come on now. I wonder if we can have a conversation with the former you before all the troubles and all the worries and all the hurts and all the doubts and all the downfalls and all the letdowns and all the drugs and all the alcohol and all these things that hinder us from accomplishing great things. I wonder if we can have that a conversation with that person before we went through what we went through, before we dealt with what we dealt with, before they lied on us, before they talked about us, before people let us down. I wonder if we can have a conversation with that person. I wonder how they would sound different compared to who we are today. See, most of us are broken people. And when we're broken people, we don't try to accomplish the dreams in our heart. I've realized, even in myself, there's some things that I wanted to do that I never tried because I went through a trial or a tribulation in the middle of trying to accomplish something and I quit. Amen. I quit because I began to question who I was. I began to question and say, how could I ever accomplish this? I'm just a failure. I'm not going to do nothing anyway. I'm going to let everybody else down. Why would I even try? But if I could have the conversation with the former me, the excited me, the zealous me. Do you remember the person you used to be when you first came to Christ? I wonder if we could talk to that person, what that person would say. If you can turn to Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start reading at verse 22. I want to read the scripture and I want to set it up. And I don't want to be up here long. If you can get me till Matthew 14, verse 22, and we're going to read 22 through 32. If you can give me to just a little bit of your time, I promise you I won't be here long. 22 says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Now, see, what's going on here is the disciples had just fed like 15,000 plus people with two fish and five loaves of bread. Amen? What just happened was this huge miracle where everybody and their kids and their grandma and all these people got fed with just a little bit. Amen? How many of you realize that God can take you a little bit and bless the nation? Come on now. What you may think is not enough, God thinks is more than enough. Hallelujah. And that's what just happened. Jesus was stayed back. He told the disciples to go to the other side, and he stayed back to dismiss the crowd. 23 says, and after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable, somebody say considerable, distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind was against it. 25 says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Yeah. One translation said he went out to them walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. Yeah. It is I. Don't be afraid. Look at your neighbor and say, take courage. Come on now. Say, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come on to the water with you. Come, he said. I like verse 29. Because that's all Jesus got to say is come. He said, come. And then Peter got down out of the boat, into the water and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were on the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God. We're talking about exceeding. See, when you exceed something, you go beyond the norm. When you exceed something, you go beyond things that have been set up for you that say you cannot get past this. When you exceed, you are exceeding. Exceeding, it implies there is motion and that you are going upward and forward. Amen? Not backwards and downwards, but you're going upward and forward. So when you're exceeding, your life is on a constant motion into a better place that is taking you higher in your success in life or in your relationships or whatever it may be. When you're exceeding, you're constantly moving forward, but you're also going upward. Amen? And as we begin to dive into the story, as I think about the word exceed, I think about faith, I think about the scripture that says God is able to do abundantly, exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think of, I begin to wonder why we as people live so down. Why we as people live in such a rut, in such a pit all the time, and we're always poor mouthing, we're always moping around and always got all these issues going on. And I begin to wonder, what is it that we missed? What did we miss? Because I think about the scripture that says he can do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think of. And I love that the writer separated what we ask from what we think. Because, see, sometimes we ask for small stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's go there. We go to the God of the universe praying about our little bitty bills. That don't even sound right, do it. But that's what we ask for. But I love the writer said, God is not just concerned about what you ask for because he wants you to ask to pay the bills. He wants you to ask to deal with the small issues. But God is also concerned about the things that you think. And as I begin to wonder, what we think about. Because, see, your dreams are wrapped up in your thinking. Oh, yeah. They're wrapped up in your thinking. They're wrapped up, you know, sometimes we don't ask for what we're actually thinking. We don't ask for, Lord, I need to start the business. When that's really on your mind, you ask for the small things. Lord, I need the money to start the business. But God wants you to start the business, and he don't worry about the small things. See, we don't ask for what we're thinking. Because I realize we think that we have whatever is in our brain is too big for us. Most of our dreams are intimidating. Most of our dreams are very intimidating because we can't see how it would happen. We don't know how it would even take place because the reality is we sit around and we deal with small things all the time. We cannot begin to fathom that God would give us what we're actually thinking about. Ask or think. But I get puzzled when I read this story because couple of things. The disciples just saw this magnificent miracle. God just fed 15,000 plus people with two fish and five loaves of bread. Now, can you imagine sitting in a room with two fish and five loaves of bread with your family? Better yet, with my family at my grandma's house. Chilling, 4th of July, everybody showing up with their cousins and friends, hungry. Can you imagine sitting in that room and Jesus go, bring me what you got. And you go, Jesus, we ain't got nothing but two pieces of fried chicken. Just two pieces of fried chicken. And we got a very small pan of macaroni. And we got a little bit of bread, just a little bit. One pack of Hawaiian sweet rolls. That's all we got. And Jesus go, that is enough. Bring it on. Can you imagine sitting in my room, in my family house, and everybody eat? We going to look at you like you crazy. But the disciples just witnessed what I call the greatest fish fry, or you know, ever, because what just happened is Jesus just fed 15,000 plus people with two fish and five loaves of bread. And they had leftovers. The disciples just witnessed this, and then they get sent out into the water, and they're out here traveling, and they're doing this thing, and then all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking to them on water. And after they just witnessed the miracle, the first thing they do is get afraid. Come on now. They get scared. They just saw Jesus feed 15,000 people, two fish and five loaves of bread, and then they got scared when they see him walking on water. I might have been scared for what might have happened to Jesus if five people didn't get fed. Come on now. All this happens, and they get scared when they see Jesus walking on water. And I begin to look at this because I'm puzzled. Because, see, the reality is we believe God for the most ridiculous small stuff all the time, but when he shows up to perform a miracle in our life that we actually need, we have a hard time. Sometimes we want God to do these great things for us, but we don't believe him for these miraculous moments that we're not used to as humans. Amen. See, the disciples couldn't fathom a man walking on water. They could somewhat understand a man feeding people, but walking on water, that's just a little bit out of my league in my belief system. Amen? See, and I begin to think about us as people because, see, we can fathom God taking care of our small problems, but God actually making our dreams come to pass, that might just be a little bit out of our league as believers. Seeing ourselves as successful, seeing ourselves as people who are future leaders and future business owners and people who are making change and impacting communities and changing lives, seeing ourselves as these things may just be a little bit out of our league as people because, see, we believe God for the small stuff, but it is the stuff that we're not used to, the stuff that we have a hard time swallowing, like a man walking on water. Our dreams are like a man walking on water. Jesus, how can you make my dream come true? It's like you walking on water. I don't understand it. I don't believe that it can actually happen. It's impossible. It's unfathomable. God, how can you do this? And what we begin to see is grown men get scared of the impossible. Amen. See, we do that. We as people, we get scared of the impossible. But that ain't no way that can happen. You telling me that God saved me from sin? Jesus died on the cross to change my life, and he actually wants me to do things that's in my heart? Yes. But that's impossible. Okay. But we get afraid of the impossible. We get afraid of it. And I begin to see a couple of things. Because, see, Peter, we had one man in the boat who says, I'm not going to be afraid of the impossible. I actually want to try it. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. And as I begin to look at this story, I found four different things that we deal with on this in the story, or three different things. Faith to exceed, three different things. And I think if we understand these three different things, we'll begin to accomplish our dreams. We'll go after these things. And so as I was diving in, I saw three themes that I thought was, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. And here's the thing. The first thing is faith to exceed the boundaries of comfort. Amen. We're going to talk about this because, see, how many of you know it's comfortable to live on the boat? Because when you're on the boat, you got protection, you got stuff underneath you. It's not scary. I mean, you may have a little wind, little waves, but the Bible didn't say they were afraid of the wind and the waves. They were used to that. They were on a boat. It's okay. You're in a storm. You're on a boat. That happens, okay? It doesn't even matter. You're comfortable. It's all right. But they got afraid when they saw Jesus not in a boat, walking on water, in the storm, in the winds, and in the waves. Now, here's the problem. Jesus was out of their place of comfort, and they didn't have faith enough to go, oh, okay, he's just walking on water. He's God. He can do that. Yeah. Amen? How do you, listen, if we're going to accomplish God's work in this earth, if we're going to accomplish the things in our heart, if we're going to actually go out there and try to live out the dreams and the things that we feel like we should be doing, we're going to have to get out of our place of comfort. What is that place of comfort? It's the place where a storm doesn't bother you. Here is what we see. The Bible says that they were being tossed to and fro by the storm. The waves was moving the boat. All this stuff was going on. But they were so used to being in a boat in a storm that it didn't even matter to them. They were so used to being in storms and fighting battles and being tossed to and fro that it didn't even matter to them that they were in a storm. That didn't even scare them. And that's how we live our life. We're so used to having to go through the same thing over and over, dealing with the same people in the same places and all this stuff happening. One minute you're up, one minute you're down. This ain't happening, and I just got this going on. I guess it don't matter. I'm broke this week. I guess I'll be broke next week. It don't matter. We're so used to living paycheck to paycheck and doing all these things that we're not even concerned about the storm that we're in. We're not even concerned to make changes when we're in the storm that we're in. We're not even concerned to try and live ourselves through faith and do things unimaginable, and we're so in our place of comfort that we don't even allow the storm to affect us anymore. Well, we're just in a storm. I'm used to that. I guess that's just the way it is. What's that old saying? It is what it is. We're so used to living our life like that that we're afraid of faith. We don't even try to accomplish our dreams. And if we're going to really go after what God has placed in our heart, we're going to have the faith to exceed our place of comfort. Which means you may have to step out on faith in the middle of a storm. You may have to step out of faith when it don't make sense. You may have to try things that don't make sense. You may have to take risks and it don't make sense. But it's okay, because if God is walking on the water, if you hear him calling you, then you go. Amen? I hear it all the time. Fred, you crazy. You're going to try and start a church in this economy in this time? What are you thinking about? I don't care about the storm that's going on right now. I know what God said to me. I know what God spoke to me. And my dream is to follow and be obedient to God and to do what he calls me to do. Now, I also know that even in the middle of the storm, there are hurting people who are dying and going to hell. And if I sit back in my place of comfort and say, I'm not going to do it because there's a storm, it just ain't right. the season ain't right. This ain't going right. The money ain't right. All this stuff ain't right. I'm going to go sit back and allow people to die and go to hell. The devil is a liar. I'm not going to let a storm stop me from taking a step of faith. I'm not going to let a storm make me stay in a place of comfort. I'm going to do what God calls me to do. But you got to do the same thing. Same thing. See, it's comfortable to live in hurt. It's comfortable to live with unforgiveness. It's comfortable to live with sin issues. It's comfortable to live with doubt and disfigurement. It's comfort to live with all these letdowns. And it's comfortable to say, I'm not even going to try what's in my heart because I'm okay with what I got. It is comfortable to live your life and say, I'm content with who I am and living in the neighborhood I live in and all this stuff. It's comfortable to say, I'm not even going to try because people might look at me different. It's comfortable to live your life like that. But I want to know if there's somebody in the house who will say, God, I'll get out of this place of comfort. I'll go after what you say to do. God, I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they look at me like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I lose all. I don't care if I gain all. God, I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to live in this place where you call me to. I'm not going to stay in this old marred clay. I'm not going to stay in this sin. I'm not going to live here. I'm going to get out of this muck. I'm going to get out of this stuff. Getting out of this boundary of comfort. The other thing I saw while reading this story is if we're going to accomplish our dreams, we're going to have the faith to exceed the boundaries of others. Come on now. The boundaries of others. Here's what I recognize. Peter was in the same boat with the other 12, with the other 11. The Bible didn't say Peter had his own boat. Peter was in the same boat. They all had the same opportunity. They all saw the same Jesus walking on the same water in the same boat in the same storm, but only one of them took a step of faith. Amen? It wasn't he was more anointed. It wasn't that he had more faith. It is more that he had the guts to take a step of faith in the middle of storms and in the middle of what was comfortable. Peter looked at Jesus and said, God, if that's you, Jesus, if that's you, call me out there and I'll come. And the Bible says that Peter stepped down out of the boat. The Bible reveals to us that Peter got out of his place of comfort, but he also got out of a place that was limited to him and everybody else that was in the boat with him. Amen. If you're going to accomplish your dream, guess what? You're going to have to leave some folk. I know you love them and you think the world of them, but here's the truth. They can't go where you're going. They don't understand where you're going. They don't even begin to fathom where you're going. And if you sit around and wait on them, and you know what? And when you on the same picture as me, we're going to go on. We're going to do this thing. If you sit around and wait for the approval of everybody else to do what God has placed in your heart, you ain't going to never do it because you are limited by their boundaries. People live their life based upon the environments that they were raised in. And so they don't know any more than what they have accomplished. And you can't go above the ceiling that you're under. Hello. Well, God, I really want to do this, but this person keep holding me back. Then why are you still around them? Why are you still hanging? The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. I understand why he was saying don't be unequally yoked. Because, see, we got yoke. You know what a yoke is? It's a yoke is what burdens the animal, and they're pulling it. And the ox would have a yoke around his neck, and he would pull, and he would pull. And some people got heavy weights around their neck. They're trying to carry all kinds of junk into holy places. They're trying to carry all kinds of stuff into things that they shouldn't be in. But God is saying, you need to not be unequally yoked, because see, when you're unequally yoked, if they got a heavy yoke, they're gonna start dragging you. Well, I can't understand why I keep falling back into the same old sin. It's because you keep hanging with the same old people. They ain't changing. You ain't changing. Y'all all got the same opportunity. Y'all got the same ability. You all got the same moment available to you, but none of you will take the moment. Everybody keeps falling in the same crap, going in the same circle. It's because you hang around the same people and you ain't changing nothing. When Jesus is standing on water saying, why don't you come out here? Why don't you live on faith? Why don't you do something different? Why don't you try to do your dream? I'm content living the paycheck to paycheck. Well, you keep on doing it, baby. But don't get mad at me when God blesses me because I done tried to do something. Yeah, I might fail a couple of times, but it's all right because failure leads to success one of these days. Well, you that's just for you. Mm-hmm. You know, while I'm thinking about that, the boundaries of others, it made me think about this. And this is the question I have for you. Are you a person who celebrates dreams? Or are you just a doubter on the boat? Because see, we got those kind of people in our lives. Uh-huh. The Bible, you know, I'm pretty sure that when Peter was like, Jesus, that's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter decided he was going to do it. I'm pretty sure there were some folk on the boat going, boy, you crazy. You lost your mind. You don't know what's going on. You don't even know what's going to happen. You're going to try that anyway. Have you ever walked on water? How you know that's really Jesus? Are you sure you hear from the Lord? Are you sure you seeing God? Are you sure this is really what God wants you to do? I get it all the time. I get phone calls. I get text messages. Are you sure God is calling you to start this church? Yeah, he is. He told me. Stop asking the same question over and over because in a minute I'm going to get mad and I'm going to stop talking to you forever. Are you a person who celebrates dreams or are you a doubter on the boat? Because see, we can't have doubters on the boat. We can't have doubters on the ship. We can't have, you know, you're going to get tossed over in a minute because you need people who celebrate you when you're trying to do what God has called you to do. Yeah. Amen. Well, I love these people though. They're so nice. Yeah, but they're doubters. You got too many doubters on your ship. You ain't got no people celebrating you. What do you mean celebrating? You got to have people who encourage you and challenge you to go after what God has called you to do. Not people who are always going, you know what? I told you not to do that. For some reason, we attract ourselves to those people. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Are you a person who celebrates dreams? Or are you a doubter on the boat? That's a good question for all these churchgoers today, to hear right now. Uh-huh, sounded very country for a minute, didn't it? Today. When it relates to kingdom movement, are you a celebrator or are you a doubter? Because see, if you're a celebrator, when people celebrate, they bring friends. Oh, we're quiet now. What do you mean, Fred? Well, you invite your coworkers to church. Invite your friends. Invite them people who you hang around that's just like you. Why don't you invite them to church? Are you celebrating this house or are you doubting? Do you not believe that if you brought them to church that God could change their life? Are you just concerned about you and yourself? That was strong right there. It's a hard pill to swallow. We want to change the world, but we won't even invite people to our own church. You know what the most important seat in this house is? It's the empty one. It's not the pastor's seat. It's the seat beside you that's empty. And people will change lives. Their lives will be changed. They need to meet Jesus Christ. And you know what your goal should be as people who are followers of Christ and who attend a local church and who serve? Your goal should be to have as many people here as possible every single Sunday. Are we concerned about ourselves? Oh, it got real quiet real quick. Dang. The last thing that I found out is if we're going to accomplish our dreams in this story, and I begin to see this, we're going to have the faith to exceed fear. Because the neighbor say exceed fear. I wonder if we could go back and talk to the former you before all of the letdowns and disappointments and all that stuff that we talked about. If I could just talk to you, I bet you what I would not hear in your voice is fear. I bet you when you were thinking about the dream and when you were dreaming about it and when it was really prevalent in your mind all the time and when you saw these great things and when you see all the things that you could imagine and the stuff that you thought of that could happen, never did it cross your mind fear. Never once did fear cross your mind. I remember when I was the first time we tried the church plant, and when I was thinking about all the great things that we could do and all the stuff that we can do and how many people we could impact and how we could be a blessing to the community and all this stuff, that never did it cross my mind that, oh, snap, we may have to deal with fear. I never went, man, there's fear. It never crossed my mind. But then something happened that knocked me off. And I begin to fear the success that God might actually bring. Amen? What is your fear? What's holding you back? What is it in your heart that you're not doing on the account that you might actually succeed and you're not ready for it? What is it that's holding you back? What fear is holding you back? Are you scared of what people might think? Are you scared of what people might say? Are you scared of who might let you down? Are you scared of who you might have to walk away from? Are you scared of what your family might think of you? Are you scared of all this stuff? What is it that you're fearing? The Bible says that Jesus looked at them and said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It is me. It is me calling you to this big, great ocean of faith. Don't be afraid. Peter looked at Jesus and said, if it's you, Lord, call me out. He got on the water and he started walking, and then he looked around and he got afraid again. I want to know what is making you afraid. Why are we so scared to do what God has called us to do? Why are we so scared to try the business venture? Why are we so scared to fill out the application to get the loan for the house? Why are we so scared to try and get the new car? What is it that we're scared of? Why are we so scared to actually apply for that job? Because it is a lot of money, and we're not used to that kind of money. And maybe they won't accept me because I've been making $12 an hour for the rest of my life. I'm okay with that. But God is calling you to bigger and better things. Why are we so afraid to go after the vice president job? Why are we so afraid to start the ministry? Why are we so afraid to try these things? You cannot live in fear and expect God to show up in your life. What are you being called to today? What are you being called to today? I want you to dig deep. Dig deep. I want you to dig deep. What are you called to today? See, we can't keep allowing fear to direct our lives because we will never, ever do what God called us to do. Fear will hinder you every step of the way Fear is the thing that knocks you back three steps when you've taken one step forward. Fear is the thing that sneaks up on you in the middle of the night, causing you not to be able to sleep. Fear is the thing that causes you to brace yourself when you're scared of things happening and people letting people in. Fear. What are you scared of? See, a couple of things we have to be aware of is whether or not God called us. Because if he called you, there ain't no reason to be scared. Amen. That's good. And I want to know the dreamer in you. What is that person scared of? Because see, in every one of us is a dreamer. There's a dreamer in you. There's a dreamer who hopes for better things. There's a dreamer who looks at their family and says, my family can't stay like this. There's a dreamer in us that says, I cannot live day by day, second by second, relying on the fear that has crippled me for so long. There's a dreamer in us that says, I cannot continue to live paycheck to paycheck, hour by hour, wondering if I'm going to be able to pay my bills, worried if I'm going to be able to take care of these things. There's a dreamer in us that says, I cannot live strapped by this healing, strapped by this sickness in my body. There's a dreamer in us that says, you know what? I cannot live wondering whether or not I'm going to be let down by this person and that person I may never trust again. There's a dreamer in us that says, I cannot live my life going around holding unforgiveness for people who have disappointed me. There's a dreamer in us that says, I have to try because if I don't try, I don't know what the end will look like. There's a dreamer in us that says, I cannot do these things unless I understand that God has called me to it. There's a dreamer in us, and I want to know if that dreamer is living in fear or if that dreamer is standing on the edge of the boat ready to dive into the water, because see, Jesus is calling us to it, and Jesus says, come on, and we got to be like Peter and get out the boat. Where's that dreamer? Where's the dreamer? What are you scared of? I had this thought. Because see, the Bible says that Peter walked on water. And then he started looking around and he realized he was in the middle of a miracle, in the middle of a storm. Okay. Peter was walking on water. The Bible never tells us that the storm stopped and everything calmed down. And Peter started looking around. He realized he was performing the miraculous in the middle of a storm. Amen. Peter was living out God's call, and there was still a storm going on. And Peter started looking around. And he saw the storm, and he started to sink. And I had this thought, and the thought was, fear is crippling, but Jesus is saving. Fear is crippling, but Jesus is saving. Because when he saw the storm, he started sinking. But Jesus, in the middle of the storm, still saved him. His faith was crippled by his environment. But Jesus still reached down and saved him. Listen, people, you may have given up on your dreams. But I promise you, if you call out to Jesus Christ, he will save you and lift you up. You may look like you're down for the count, but Jesus is saving. It may not look good in your environment. All the odds are stacked against you, but Jesus is saving. It may look like it's over. It may look like it's done. It may look like it's finished, but Jesus finished the work on the cross, and guess what? He is saving you day by day, second by second, hour by hour. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what things look like around you. Jesus is saving. Fear is crippling, but Jesus is saving. And I don't care what you may have given up on, and I don't care what people have said to you. I don't care what your situation has told you you can't do. I want you to know that Jesus is saving. Fear is crippling. Crippling, but Jesus is saving. And though people may have said you may be done, you may never accomplish that thing, Jesus is saving. So what are you being called to today? What are you being called to today? What are you being called to? Where my dreamers at? Or those people who dreamed of bigger and better things and better days? Where are those dreams? We got to find that person. And we got to live that dream. You hear me? Can you stand? I realize that many of us have given up on our dreams. We've let go of dreams, and we've just said, no, it ain't gonna happen. I realize that many of us have said, you know, I'm not even going to try anymore because I don't think it'll ever happen. But I believe inside every one of us that dreamer still lives. I believe that dreamer still lives. I believe in every one of us, the dreamer still lives. Which means if the dreamer still lives, the dream is not dead. And what I want you to do is take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. What is your dream? It may be a healing. It may be releasing forgiveness. Whatever it may be, take a step of faith. Because you cannot allow things to keep holding you back. Because you will never, ever accomplish what God has placed in your heart. And you will never, ever see the glory of God in your life. And you'll never experience the weight of His glory on you. Because you're always weighed down by other things. You have got to try again. Try again. Try again. That's a word for somebody. I don't know who it is, but the Lord is telling me to tell you to try again. Try again. Yeah, you failed the first time, but it's time to try again. Endeavor, try again. Mary, try again. I hear the Lord saying, try again. Mama, try again. You're not a failure. Try again. Come on, let's pray. God, as we go through this week, I pray to remind us daily of the things you place in our heart. And speak a word over these people, God. God, to begin to bring forth and rebirth the dreams that once were living in us. Take us back to those days, God, before all the junk that filled our lives, God. And take us back to that innocence where we just purely dreamed of having good lives and accomplishing great things. God, show us that person. God, let us converse with that person. And let us reason with the truth of this, the matter. And that is that you want us to accomplish those dreams. I thank you, Lord, that you give us the spirit to try again. Give us the boldness to try again. We love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name.